This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. Today we'll hear from Executive Vice President for the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. When Don and I last talked, the electronic logging rule for trucks had just been passed. Don has an update for you about the rule, and we discuss the need for federal and state transportation funding. When we last talked in December, the electronic logging rule had just been initiated. Any updates on that for us or any other legislative things that are on the agenda?
Well, right when we talked back last month, it's hard to believe that it was, right before Christmas.
But, yeah.
The law, it was implemented December 18th, I think it was, at that time, it was pretty clear that there's a long way to go before the rule takes place. I mean, it's 2 years implementation phase. We know that it's, that there's going to be a lot of maneuvering going on before that implementation date. The big thing we have told people, though, is don't rush out to go put electronic logs into your trucks unless you feel confident that, that the equipment you buy or put in is going to be good for the here and after. We expect there will be some new exemptions that will come up. So in other words, we do have groups that are exempt certain categories of drivers and this will be tweaked, but if you drive less than 8 days, I think it is, out of 30 interstate, then you won't have to get them. If you're basically exempt from having to keep logs now, you won't have to keep electronic logs either. You won't have to get them. So that's pretty much what we know right now. A lot of people will tell you, though, that once they went to electronic logs, they loved them because of the fact that they don't have to play with the driver's paper logs, that they're pretty much foolproof, and that the drivers can't mess them up because there's warnings and everything saying you're running out of time. And federal law says, you're only limited to so many hours a day you can drive, and then you have to take 10 hours off. And the electronic logs do a very good job of monitoring that. So from a safety standpoint, a lot of companies like them, and they've gone right ahead and put them in and are using them right now.
Another thing that we had mentioned before we started talking today was really focusing on a transportation plan and looking at funding options for that. Talk to that. What's going on with that right now?
Transportation funding, the perennial issue. I mean, the big thing is that we have a federal highway plan. The federal highway plan doesn't have, it's got great programs, it's got great policies, but it really doesn't do anything in regards to putting a funding mechanism together. The federal government's going to dedicate money, but it's not, obviously, most people feel it's not going to be enough to sustain what is a five-year program. That Congress is going to have to go back and come back up with a new source of funding to maintain the infrastructure that the country is badly needs to repair. On the state level, the discussion continues about what is the state's responsibility in terms of funding this infrastructure. We haven't had a motor fuel tax increase or any source of funding increase for our road program in probably 20 years. And during that 20-year period, the cost of asphalt, concrete, everything else has gone up. But the amount of money we've collected has not increased. That's because cars get better fuel mileage and they burn less fuel, so they're buying less gasoline. So even though there are more cars on the road, the amount of fuel that's been bought and the amount of tax that's been collected has stayed flat. And that's a real dilemma. There's a group, Transportation for Illinois Coalition, that is a group made up of industry, the trucking industry, labor, local governments, state governments, just a wide variety of groups that all are saying the same thing. We need to maintain our infrastructure or we're going to be in trouble because the infrastructure is the backbone of our economy. Being able to move grain from an elevator to a river terminal, or to a rail terminal, means you have to have good roads, you have to have good waterways. All the basic necessities of transportation the economy depends on. This group is very strongly in favor of some sort of a funding increase The feeling is that motor fuel taxes for the time being are the best way to go, and maybe an increase in the motor fuel tax because, you know, fuel prices are the lowest they've been in over a decade. And for the short term, it appears that it's going to stay that way just because. So motor fuel tax seems to be an honest way to go. They're looking at other options. There's been discussion about flat fees on electric cars, those types of vehicles that don't pay motor fuel tax. That's an option. There's been discussion about a vehicle mile tax, which is probably the most controversial of all the issues out there because VMT all of a sudden starts bringing in connotations of Big Brother watching you because you got to put a thing in your car and they can monitor it. They know where you've gone and all that kind of stuff. And that doesn't sit too well with people. But, you know, the real problem is that we haven't done anything in 20 years, 20 plus years. And as we delay any type of funding increase, bridges deteriorate, roadways deteriorate. We desperately need to have some sort of funding. And especially here in the state, because there's no major road program or infrastructure program that's in place right now, and we haven't had one in a couple of years. So hopefully we can come up with something that's palatable to everybody, but really does. I mean, it does. You know, you can only repave a road so many times. You can put another layer of asphalt on it; it lasts 2 years, and you got to rip it off, put another one on. The problem is that we've got a subbase, we've got an infrastructure that's fallen apart. We really need to, you got to build it from the ground up, and we haven't been able to do that because of no money.
Don said they hope to see some action happen after the November election. Executive Vice President for the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. And on a final note, the annual Midwest Truck and Trailer Show is taking place next week on February 5th and 6th at the Peoria Civic Center. We'll be back with more after these messages. The pending merger between DuPont and Dow Chemical provides very little concern to regulators, according to DuPont CEO Edward Breen. The DuPont CEO told Reuters this week the merger, expected to close later this year, was unlikely to have significant asset sales. The two companies announced the planned merger late last year that would form a giant in the chemical and seed production industry. The merged company would have a market value of an estimated $95 billion at current share prices. Once complete, the new company would split into three businesses focused in agriculture, materials, and specialty products. However, some analysts say regulators are likely to be concerned with the combination of the two companies' agricultural businesses. Meanwhile, DuPont on Tuesday announced the company was considering cutting costs by $730 million this year, ahead of the merger with Dow. During Wednesday's conversation on child hunger in America, the Obama administration announced new federal actions to ensure all low-income children have year-round access to the food they need. The president's 2017 budget will invest $12 billion over 10 years to reduce child hunger during the summer through a permanent summer electronic benefits transfer for children, or summer EBT program. The administration says during the academic year, school meals help feed the nearly 22 million low-income children who receive free and reduced-price school meals. However, only a fraction of those children receive free and reduced-price meals when school is out of session. The administration believes a summer EBT program will fill the food budget gap during the summer months. USDA is also announcing a new initiative that will allow state agencies that administer the National School Lunch Program to use Medicaid data to certify students for free and reduced-price lunches. This will link eligible children to school meals with less paperwork for the state, schools, and families, according to the USDA. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.